Hey, and if you're listening to that music, you know by now that that means we're having a special edition of the program Spiritual Perspectives. This is the program Spiritual Perspectives. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host. And today we'll be talking about real life from a, well, spiritual perspective. We have an absolutely delightful guest with us this morning. He'll be in town here speaking, and we'll give you that information as we move on through the program. But we'll have the privilege of having him here in town to be speaking. Our guest this morning actually has devoted his entire professional career to communicating with people. Starting working through media, business-to-business working in advertising, even working with state and local government officials. So that's some very deep communicating. And now, through a full-time practice of Christian Science healing. Our guest says, one of the best ways I've found to communicate is to bring interactive elements to every discussion and to help the lecture be more of a dialogue. And I love one of the comments that he has, which is very direct. He says he feels that a lecture needs to lift up the Christ, and we'll discuss that, and raise the audience spiritually so that they'll love to grapple with new ideas and, as Mary Baker Eddy has said, to broaden their concepts. And so, everybody, this morning I'd like to introduce you to Kevin Gronke. Kevin, good morning. This is everybody.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kevin.
Perfect. Now, there's a place in there in the sentence I just read. I've got a note here that says, as a lifelong Christian scientist, you've actually witnessed the restorative power of scientific prayer many times for yourself, for your family, and that healings have included everything from severe food poisoning, which I did a couple weeks ago. That is a remarkable thing to heal. Through a broken leg and even life-threatening children injuries, injuries to head and back, and even business and financial emergencies. So that's one of the pieces I always like to remind people is that healing from an energetic or spiritual perspective shouldn't be reserved for disease, and you shouldn't wait till everything's broken. But talk to me about, in this one quote, to lift up the Christ, because I know there's a lot of listeners that have various bruises or educations from things called churches. Because that word can mean so many different things, and I'll come back to that. And they only think of the Christ as one guy that hung out for 35 years, and that was it. So what are you meaning when you say lift up the Christ?
It's a great question, Scout. And Christian Science does bring out the fact that there is a differentiation, but yet also a very intimate relationship between Jesus and Christ. Christ, as I understand it, and as Christian Science teaches, is the message, the manifestation of God to us. It's not a person. The Christ is really the divine idea of God. It's the way God shows himself to us. The Christ being that element of love, that element of salvation that Jesus came to preach, really that doctrine of salvation, universal salvation. And so if we can lift up this idea of Christ as God showing himself to us, and Christ being the manner in which he does this, then as we lift that up in our lives, we start to be able to live it more fully and to express it not only to ourselves but to others as well.
So you're saying that you see the teacher Jesus, which is an individual that's recognized in, as sometimes folks don't realize how many of the world's major religions recognize that major teacher. And you see that as he had a teaching that he both taught and embodied, but even as he said, I believe in Matthew it's quoted, where he says, all these things I do, so shall ye do, and greater things shall ye do in the name of God your Father.
Again, one wonderful point, and I'm glad you brought that out, because this is what I, as a Christian Scientist, and what Christian scientists around the world are really embracing. It is that teaching and healing ministry of Jesus, where he did say, as you quoted, the works that I do, you will do also. Well, that includes healing. That includes the comforting of those who are brokenhearted, the lifting up of those who feel victimized. And this is what I, as a Christian Science healer, do. It's my life work.
There was another comment here, and I just love how you phrase this. Kevin has witnessed the restorative power of scientific prayer. Now, scientific, I know that when Mary Becker Eddy wrote Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures, the word science actually meant way more than it means on your average Tide commercial now. You're using this phrase of scientific prayer, which is two words that people maybe don't see together all the time. Yeah. What on earth do you mean with scientific prayer?
Well, as Mary Becker Eddy explains in many places, and the manner in which she uses that term science in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, her book, she will capitalize the word science, meaning briefly, the law of God. Science is the law of God. Any science is something that can be proven, that can be tested, and that brings whatever the result may be. And so scientific prayer is prayer, and as you describe it, prayer is a verb. Prayer is the activity that invokes and employs that law of God and recognizes that that law of God is at work in the lives of ourselves and everyone else.
So you're talking about the classic definition of science I learned way back, which is science is seeking new information and then proposing a theory and then finding out the theory through, my brain is trying to use the word replicatable, and I'm not sure replicatable is a word, but results
mean.
That can be replicated. Yeah, I'll cheat.
Exactly, yeah. And in a simple form, that's what people today often describe as the scientific method. Taking a proposition, testing it, developing notes and thoughts and observations, and if the proposition holds to be true, then it is something that can be replicated and repeated time after time. And not with any sense of chance, but with a sense of certainty. And it is this scientific method towards prayer that Mary Becker Eddy discovered. And she also took the last step in that scientific method, and that was to write a textbook so that anyone could practice the science with the same repeatable and certain results. And as you've referenced, that book is called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. It's one of the books that I'll be quoting from in my lecture there in Belvedere next Tuesday.
Right. Kevin will be here in town next Tuesday, and we'll give you the rest of the information. But I love the title. You're mentioning Christian Science, and I always like to bring out to people that open your mind to the concepts. Even if you have a church that you like already, if you've been listening to this station, you're looking for even more information. Christian Science, the Christian scientists I've met have never objected if somebody also attends another church and studies in another way, or even if somebody attended something called a church and got badly bruised and thought they'd never go to anything called that again. This is sort of a different format than that. So Kevin will be presenting Christian Science Healing, Praying with Certainty. And I just love the phrase of praying with certainty. Talk a little bit about that. You mentioned that idea, but you're looking at, as you say, it's a law that we can apply again and again with the same certain results.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, Scout, prayer, the deepest prayer really is that which affirms and acknowledges that this law of God is at work in our daily lives. Prayer is not a sense of asking or pleading or just hoping for the best. Some people might describe that as blind faith. Today, in fact, you're chuckling, but today, in fact, the rule and system of scientific healing prayer are just as certain as they've always been. what I will be sharing in our talk next Tuesday is that prayer continues to be today, yes, in the 21st century, a dynamic force for healing. And to rely on prayer for healing and to pray with certainty means that we're not just repeating words or thinking thoughts that may follow a certain pattern. It really does mean we're actively applying the spiritual ideas that come to us in prayer. And a friend of mine describes this as stopping the what-if train and instead praying with what is.
I like that. Stopping the what-if and instead praying with what is.
And, you know, Scott, praying then with what is, even when we're faced with darkness, doubt, and fear, and indeed especially when we're faced with those, praying with what is restores our mental and spiritual certainty that we're held close by the one living divine guide and creator who protects us, by the God whom the Bible describes as love itself.
There's a quote here that I've read this multiple times, looking over and getting ready for today. And the phrase is, there is a supreme, all-powerful law of goodness that's impartial and universal because it comes from a divine source rather than a human one.
Right, right. That divine source is God, the supreme being whom the Bible describes, for example, in 2 Samuel as a lamp, a fortress, a mighty rock, the one who sets us free. And there needs to be in our prayer that acknowledgement that there is one God and that God is universal. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't recognize you or me or someone else over another. He doesn't favor somebody over another. His love is universal and it is impartial. And it's flowing to each one of us, every single moment of every single day.
So there's a place here where there's a lot of belief systems and structures, I notice when I'm working with people and talking with people, that sort of have me here and God there, and some range between, if I'm a really good boy, God will be okay with me, to maybe even, if I'm a really good boy, God will... Sorry, toss me a biscuit. That's just really crude, but that's how I wanted to come out. You're describing something very different than I'm here and God's there.
Yeah. In one of Paul's letters in the Bible, in Romans, he talks about how neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come, all sorts of privations, problems, etc. He says, none of these can separate us from the love of God. And that love we do find, Paul said in preaching that gospel of Jesus, he said, that love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's not a denominational thing. But the point is that we are not separated from God. And I recognize and I understand that a lot of folks feel that way. A lot of theology preaches that we are separated from God. And yet when you look at the very first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, the last verse, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It is still good today. The goodness of God's creation, and you and I, as part of that creation, our goodness is as intact and permanent as it has always been, and our relationship with God is not fractured or split apart. We are, in fact, at one with him at all times because we're his children. The specific term that Christian Science uses is that we are God's reflection. So the reflection is never separated from the original.
Perfect. I want everybody to hold that thought for the moment. Our guest this morning is Kevin Gronke. Kevin is going to be here in town. He'll be in Belvedere, and we'll give you that information right now.
Looking for better health and a more spiritually based approach to life? Then tune in today at 10 a.m. to hear Scout Bartlett interview Christian Science speaker, healer, and teacher Kevin Gronke. That's today at 10 a.m. only on KEST 1450.
Let's try the other spot. Have you got it there? I'll let you know that Kevin Gronke is going to be here. He'll be presenting a lecture in Belvedere at the Belvedere Community Center. It's coming up this next week on Tuesday evening, Tuesday the 29th at 7:30 in the Belvedere Community Center, which is on Community Road right by the park. Christian Science, healing, praying with certainty. And that'll be this coming Tuesday, the 29th. It starts at 7:30. It'll be at the Belvedere Community Center, right there on Community Road by the park. The phone number, if you need a contact number, is 415-435-0042. 415-435-0042. But just make a note of it right now. It's Tuesday, the 29th at 7:30. At the Belvedere Community Center. And this is being presented by the Belvedere Christian Science Church as a gift to the community. And so there is no charge to you to attend this event and get to meet Kevin in person. And I know Kevin's presentations are very, very much interactive. And so, in fact, we'll just bring back spiritual perspectives and we'll come right back with a little more conversation with Kevin. And you are listening to a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives right here on KEST. And those of you listening by broadcast, I want to make sure that you know KEST is now also streaming live on the internet at www.kestradio.com. www.kestradio. You have to add the radio or you get some bizarre engineering company somewhere in the Midwest. kestradio.com. Click on the button and you can listen to us streaming. In fact, invite all of your friends and better yet, invite the people you don't like. Maybe it'll make them better. To dial in, they can listen to it with personal growth programming every single weekday morning from early till almost lunchtime, and they can join together. So I'm bringing back our guest, Kevin. Welcome back, Kevin.
So, thank you, Scott.
So Tuesday evening, people will be joining together because I know that you do a presentation to make sure that everybody has the chance to be a part of it if they choose to. But you're talking here, building out of what you're calling three foundational stones for predictable, repeatable, demonstratable healing of physical all the way across to financial life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And those foundation stones are not my invention. These are what Christ Jesus gave his disciples. And they came about after the disciples had tried unsuccessfully to heal a young boy. And those of your listeners who may be familiar with the gospel account of this in Matthew, they were unable to heal this boy, suffering from probably what we would call epilepsy today, and they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do this? Because Jesus did heal the boy. And Jesus gave them three foundation stones for healing. He said, this kind of healing requires faith, prayer, and fasting.
Ah.
And what I do in the talk, I ask the audience, how do they view faith? And then we look at that and talk about that. What does prayer mean to you? And what is fasting to you? And we develop each of those three ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take us briefly, very briefly, into each of those.
I would like to touch on the third one because you have a quote here that I mm-hmm. absolutely loved. I had to read it three times to get it to read right. And so I'm going to read it if I may, and then you
all
can
right.
let me know if I got it.
Okay.
Because I noticed there were many ways to read this. You mention here that Mary Baker Eddy writes, and she's talking about fasting is not just the normal, you know, I'm fasting, I'm not eating, but not to abstain from eating is not sufficient to meet this demand for healing.
Right.
What's needed, she says, is to silence whatever wars against spirit and spiritual power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably the best way for me to describe that is to share an experience that I had a number of years ago. I was part of a development team planning a major business conference. We had an international audience coming in. There was this was an unprecedented meeting. Nothing like this had ever been done before, and so the content that we were developing was all new. But there were also many deadlines that we had to meet. And the what was starting to happen as the deadline pressure grew, so did negative thoughts, frustration, a whole flood of human opinions. And what I started to do, Scout, was to take all of this in, to take it in mentally, to kind of feed off of this negativity.
In other words, you started to be normal.
I found myself in a situation that a number of others on our team were feeling as well. We can't possibly do this, you know, that this is too hard, etc. And what happened was, yes, we did manage to pull it together, not without pulling some of our hair in the process, but the first morning of the conference, as I was getting ready to leave the house, I leaned over to tie my shoe, and an incredibly sharp pain went through my back. It took me just about 2 or 3 minutes just to be able to stand upright again. Well, make a long story short, I managed to get to the meeting that first day, but by noon, I simply had to leave because the pain was so intense. And I called a friend, a fellow Christian Science practitioner, a healer, to pray with me. And what he did was to help me do some needed fasting, specifically to silence all of this negativity, to release, to dump this load of personal responsibility that I had shoveled in and that was now weighing me down. And what I needed to do was to rediscover my own sense of spiritual purity, because purity is often a goal, an objective of fasting, to purify one's body. Well, in my case, I needed to purify body and mind.
Yes.
And so the prayer that we engaged in was one where I did need to embrace that statement where Mary Baker Eddy says, we have to silence whatever wars against spirit. And again, she uses a capital S and on the word spirit, whatever would oppose God and his power. And all of that will, all of that negativity that I had allowed myself to take in was doing just that. And I had to release it, and I had to purify my thought and my outlook. And within a week and a half, that back pain vanished completely. Now, this was number of years ago, and Scout, I have never had another moment of back pain since.
So it's rejoining in, as it were, God. A friend of mine at one point said to me, you know, one of those moments in life where life looked like it wasn't necessarily flowing as my brain thought it should, and she looked me straight in the eye and said, well, if you won't take my opinion of you, then just recognize this, God made you and God don't make junk.
I've heard that. Perfectly true. I love that.
So you're describing, rather than I'm here and God's there, you're describing this fasting, the silencing whatever wars against spirit and spiritual power. You're describing yourself as having been in that separation and then rejoining, call it a held in a perfect image, if I can just drop that phrase.
Yeah, you sure can, and it's a perfect phrase to use. And to take it just a step higher, to recognize that while it had seemed for that week and a half, that I had somehow lost my way, had gotten separated from God, from my spiritual identity. My healing came about as I realized, in fact, that I had not been separated from God. As we said before the break, where Paul describes that none of these things can separate us. It may seem to, it may appear to all intents and purposes that we've gotten off track and that there's been a train wreck somehow. But what prayer does and what it does for me and what it should do for all of us is to, first of all, enable us to know clearly what God is. Secondly, to understand better who we are as God's man or woman, you know, what it truly means to be the child of God. And then thirdly, that sense, as I referenced earlier, from Genesis chapter 1, God seeing his creation as very good, and also in Genesis chapter 1, seeing ourselves, really knowing ourselves as the image and likeness of this perfect creator.
It's my privilege. I'm getting to talk with Kevin Gronke today. Kevin Gronke lives a full-time public practice of Christian Science healing. Kevin, there's one more quote here that I just adored as I was looking over the material, where you're saying each of us also has the opportunity to follow the example of Mary Baker Eddy, joining in what people are beginning to rediscover today, that God's divine law of grace and truth is permanent and stable, and that it's immediate and available to heal with certainty. So you're going to be here in the Bay Area, in Belvedere, Tuesday evening, talking Christian Science healing, praying with certainty. Just to ask the obvious question, do folks need to have been in Christian Science? Do they need to believe in Christian Science? Do they need to agree with Christian Science? Do they even need to know what those words mean when they're put together to come and actually be able to track exactly what you're talking about next Tuesday?
No, none of those prerequisites apply in any way. As you said, and you put it beautifully, this is the Belvedere Christian Science Church's gift to the community, because, you know, we're all of us in our lives today, personally, nationally, worldwide, we're facing all kinds of issues, and we need answers. And the proposition that we'll put before the audience next Tuesday is that those answers start and stay with a spiritual foundation. And so by the time folks leave after the hour is up, they'll start, if they come in knowing nothing whatsoever about Christian Science, they'll leave with an opportunity to have heard those words, to know a little bit more about it. And I should also mention that we will have copies of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, available for folks to take home with them. We'll also have the Bible there if they would like to take those as well.
Wow.
So come one, come all.
those are also a gift?
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify. Wow, that's what a beautiful, beautiful support and gift to the community. Kevin, it's wonderful that we're going to get to have you here in the Bay Area. It's a treat for me because we haven't spoken in years, so it's just a delight to get to talk to you again.
Good to be together again with you, Scout. This is great.
Our guest today is Kevin Gronke. He will be in Belvedere Tuesday evening, Christian Science Healing, Praying with Certainty. Starts Tuesday evening, 7:30, and we'll just give you the rest of the information right here. Kevin, thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome, Scout. Thanks for having me.
Looking for better health and a more spiritually based approach to life? Kevin Gronke, national speaker, Christian Science healer, and teacher, will explain how in his free talk titled Christian Science Healing, Praying with Certainty, Tuesday, June 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the Belvedere Community Center. Kevin will share life experiences that prove prayer is an effective basis for healing. Again, that's 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 29th at the Belvedere Community Center.
Yeah, you're listening to a special edition of Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. Oh, I like that part. I don't even know why. I just do. I like that part. You are listening to a special edition of Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder and Bartlett like Pears. Oh, man, it's great to be here. You guys, I'm having the most amazing morning. I've already been on another radio station earlier this morning down in San Jose, and now I'm back up into the city with KEST. Those of you that haven't found out yet, guess what? We're streaming live on the air, KESTradio.com. You got to put the KESTradio together.com. Go into KESTradio.com, click on the little button that says streaming. It's a little teensy tiny button right now. It's a test to see whether or not you're paying attention. But click on that little button, and then when your computer says, GAC, your computer is trying to do something. Say, yeah, I meant for you to do that. And then it'll bring it right up, and you can listen to exactly the personal growth programming that we've got going on streaming live on the air. So let your relatives all over the place know, you know, all these years where you've been saying, man, you ought to be able to listen to Scout. And they go, I can't. He's not in town. You can go, wow, now you can. And then they'll have no excuse. So I have those of you. Now, see, I am a firm believer in coincidence. I've noticed in the spiritual personal growth community, people try to say, I don't believe in coincidence. Me, I firmly believe in coincidence. I pay maximum attention when I see incidents come together in a way that makes them cooperative or they coincident. I'm a huge believer in that. Well, there's a fabulous metaphysical center in Mountain View called East West Bookstore. You hear their ads. Bonnie's show regularly has ads for them and plays their calendar. They have some very specific ways of how they set up their speaker program, and I've been privileged enough to be a guest and speak there several times. One of the things they never do, and y'all know the importance of that word never, one of the things they never do is book a back-to-back doubleheader. And the list is too long to tell the story, through a number of really quirky little weird things, all came together to make a coincidence to actually have me there at East West next week in a back-to-back doubleheader. Wednesday evening, the last day of June, the last day of the second quarter, Wednesday evening, June 30, I'll be there doing a workshop that's called Karma Chameleon, and we'll talk a little more about that. There wasn't enough room. If there had been when we put the headline in, it would have, all right, honestly, it would have actually been Karma Chameleon. But that was way too long. It made the headline too long. So that's Wednesday night, the 30th, is Karma Chameleon. We're talking about how to unhook all those places where those of us that are intuitive have a tendency to bend, fold, conform ourselves to match up to our beloved, our love, our parents, our family, our surrounding, our circumstance, our circle of friends, or in some cases even do multi-transformations transformer style, that you bend yourself into one form with one circle of friends and a different form with a different circle of friends and a different form with a different person that you're dating or in love with or married to or, you know, raising as a child for that matter. We'll even conform ourselves to our kids. That's that karma chameleon. We'll talk about that from an energy basis and how to unhook it. That's Wednesday night. Thursday night, July the 1st, the first day of the next quarter, the first day of their brand new book that just came out. So guess what? You'll probably get to be one of the, you know, smaller number of people there. Instead of like being able to sell it out and fill all the chairs, you'll probably get to be the smaller audience because the book will have just come out. Thursday night, I am privileged to be the very first of a brand new series that East West is beginning, which are weeknight intensives and fundraisers for East West. So they're weeknight intensives and fundraiser workshops for East West. The price is still in advance. Go ahead and reserve in advance. And for you, your friends, and three or four people you don't like, so maybe it'll help them. But go ahead. It's just $8. Okay, so it's that easy. But it's a fundraiser for East West. It's that place where they can fill in the gap for people that go save $1.29 by buying it on Amazon and then forget that what they want to do is support their local establishments. So that's Thursday night. But that's next week. Wednesday night and Thursday night is a doubleheader. Now, the Thursday night workshop is an intensive, and it's an intensive on, I've done a workshop for quite a number of years called Recognizing Your Gifts and Value. Okay, and it's probably my most quotable workshop, Recognizing Your Gifts and Value. A lot of people, y'all know that one already, or you would if you'd just taken the time and paid attention. So Recognizing Your Gifts and Value, that workshop, well, the most recent time I did that workshop, it began to evolve as we went into overtime. We went into spiritual overtime that night. We did the workshop, and then there was some more I wanted to do, and everybody agreed they were willing to stick around and be bonused. That was really hard to say. My mouth was trying to say, be bonused a bunch of extra time. Do not go for B alliterations when on the air. They're just hard to do. Anyway, everybody agreed to stick around and be bonused a bunch of extra time. And it developed into the front end of a brand new format, which then became the intensive that I'll be doing next Thursday. That'll be the first time I'll be doing that format of that information. So I have this tendency to think, one, they never do that. They never book a doubleheader back-to-back. Two, I wouldn't book a doubleheader back-to-back. Three, it's a really weird set of circumstances it took to make that come together and sneak in and happen all on its own. I have a real tendency to believe that when I see coincidence like that, that created itself, I got to tell you, I'm planning to go both nights. I'm planning to be there both nights just to find out what happens. Because I don't know. But I think it'll be wild. So I want to talk a little bit about Karma Chameleon. I'm assuming that you guys recognize that one. If you wander around intuitive, particularly if you're clairsentient or empathic, there's a real tendency to, as we're kids, there's a real tendency to program ourselves, which we assume we're being programmed, and we assume that everybody's doing that and that we're supposed to. Well, all y'all that are listening, you've got that intuitive part. You remember, well, we start with the easy things. In my household, my folks made a rule, and we knew it was a rule, that the rule on our side of the question was, if you've asked one parent and you've gotten an answer, such as, can I go to the drive-in movies with my friends across the street and be up till very late tonight? If you've asked a parent and gotten an answer, you don't ask the other parent, because that's just not how it's done. Now, their side of the rule was, if you got an answer from a parent, the other parent wouldn't override it. Which meant if you asked the parent that was going to say no, the other parent wouldn't step in and say yes, and vice versa. Now, y'all can recognize already, if you're intuitive at all, how long does it take to learn which parent to ask which thing? You know, if it was a wild and rambunctious or a stay up late, we always ask dad. If it had, you know, for me, if it was had an artistic or a color flair to it, or for that matter, if it was a really, really nice new clothing that I really thought I wanted, that was the one to hit up mom. Or for that matter, if it was food or food treats, you hit up mom. Mom was good for food and food treats consistently, but for outside the box and a little bit rambunctious, you ask dad. Doesn't take long to read it. Well, a lot of you can even remember reading your parents well enough to know when to ask or not ask. It's really funny. My dad tells a story. I don't remember doing it, so I'm certain it was my brother that would have done this. I never would have. My dad tells a story of my, we'll say my brother, coming up, and dad and mom happened to be standing together. And he walked up and said, dad, and then looked and said, I'm not talking to you, mom. Dad, can I go to whatever it was? You know, my friends are going to the drag races. Can I go with them? Dad, I'm not talking to you, Mom. I'm talking to Dad. Dad, can I go to the drag races with John? Very cool stuff. Not to drive, just to, you know, attend. I'm sure if he went to drive in drag races, that was the point in time where you didn't mention that. And that's the other things. You know, you read your parents as to things to not tell them and to not mention to them. Somebody one time defined being an adult is when you finally quit protecting your parents from the truth about you. Anyway, so y'all can recognize, having read your parents, and for some of you, if your parents were volatile, you read the days you needed to be invisible. You read the days where you could ask a question. You read the days where you needed to be very visible, cheerful, and helpful. You read the days when you needed to hurry home from school, and you read the days when you didn't want to go home. You wanted to, like, stop off at a friend's and postpone going home for as long as you could. All of this stuff. But you can recognize where you've read relationship partners and then tried to form yourself to them as if somehow you needed to have brought sufficient value to the equation to have paid your admission to get to be there. You get it? As if somehow rather than, you know, gee, they valued me, they wanted me, they chose me. As if you needed to conform yourself or configure yourself or give the right answers so that you brought sufficient value to them for the burden of having had you in their life. Yeah, charming, huh? So that's Wednesday night. We'll be talking about that whole karma chameleon. In other words, we don't just conform our words. We actually shift and change our energy patterning, and then we imprint those patterns. There's a section, many of you are familiar with the basic concept of seven primary body chakras, starting at your tailbone and running all the way to the top of your head. The associated colors are a rainbow. You start at your tailbone with red. The next one in your low belly is orange. The next one at your solar plexus is yellow. The next one at heart level is green. The next one at throat level is blue. Then when you get in the middle of your head, your third eye, right there in the middle of your head, is indigo, that blue-black. Brand new Levi's before they're ever washed are indigo, but so's the evening sky if you look away from the sunset. Indigo. And then at the very top of your head, the top chakra is violet or purple. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, purple. The chakras associate with aspects of self. That first chakra at the base of your spine, color red, is associated with sense of self. Now, that's not self-description. That's not the oh, you know me, I always kinds of self-description. It's sense of self. That aspect of you feel when you're really centered or when you're doing that interesting part of relationships and you're describing to your friends, when I'm around them, they just bring out that part of me. Well, that sense of self is that part of me that you figured they bring out and that justifies why you're there. Okay, so that's that sense of self is first chakra. Second chakra is the sense of connection, nurturance, unification, family, belonging. So if you've always had a sense that you didn't belong or you didn't know where you belonged or you wish you could find where you belong, that's a vacancy. That's an energetic disconnect in the second chakra. Third chakra, solar plexus, it gets referred to as the power chakra, but I would also describe it as the place from which we give ourselves permission to have a significant effect on our surroundings. When I go up on the air, I dial up that third chakra because I'm broadcasting my energy pattern, my energy field in an uplifted pattern. I'm not putting my patterns out there, but my energy field in an uplifted pattern through the entire broadcast area. So that folks that are, if you're within range of the broadcast, which gets further now that we're streaming online, I sort of have to do it globally, which is very exciting. Broadcasting that energy out, I don't know if we'll have time to do that today. Friday the 7th. July 7th, Friday the 7th, from 8 till 9, the 1th of the month Friday, is our regular Life Insights Live program, always on the 1th of the month Friday from 8 to 9 here on KEST. We'll do an energy experiment in that program where you can notice whether or not you sense it when I make a change in the energy flow. Anyway, solar plexus. I broadcast that energy pattern as large as the broadcast area because I'm more than willing to have that uplifting effect on that broad a range. Next chakra, heart level. Well, that heart level chakra is in line with a whole lot of what we associate with that Hallmarkian heart in our chest. It's our ability to love, but it's also our ability to experience beauty, joy, delight, and all of that other emotional glitchy stuff. So when you notice that your emotions get hampered or impaired, or even if your emotions grab you by the throat and demand that you live them out rather than have them, if your emotions grab you by the throat and demand that you be them rather than have them, and they just take you where they want to go, that's all heart level. The next chakra up is at the base of your throat, and that's communication. But it's not just communication as in blah, 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 outbound. And it's not just communication as in words. It's also communication, poetry, sculpture, music, singing, all of that throat chakra. It's also communication in terms of perception. If you notice, we'll say others, if you notice other people seem to have a consistent gap between what gets communicated to them and what they actually take from that, or if you've noticed that you have a knack, we'll give you credit, if you notice that you have a knack of reading between the lines to get what the communication really was as opposed to what the words were, that's all throat chakra. That perceptual acuity is all throat chakra. Next chakra up, third eye, sixth chakra, in the middle of your head. It's at the level of your eyes, but it's not like way up front between your eyebrows. It's way back sitting tucked up under your brain in the middle of your head. That's that conceptual reality. It's your intuitive chakra, but not just intuitive as in, Captain, I can sense in the other ship there's anger. You know, I wish I could make a living just doing that. Anyway, it's borrowing for Star Trek. But it's not just that. Intuitive as in psychic experience, it's also intuitive as in the synthesis of broader thought. Okay? So when somebody takes one idea and puts it together with another idea and sees an entirely new thing, that's referred to as an intuitive leap. It's exactly what it is. It's the synthesis. Every time you've ever had an aha, whether it was a deep, profound personal aha, or whether it was just, wow, peanut butter and jelly and bread. Ooh, good combination. Let's put the sticky parts in the middle. Well, maybe that wasn't an aha. Maybe I actually got taught that one. But when you've had an aha where ideas came together and synthesized, even when it's those nice realizations of, oh, I could do that this way, or oh, that works this way, or oh, I could do this. That's all sixth chakra, that ability to bring concepts together and synthesize. Seventh chakra at the top of your head, shortest version is to say that that's associated with your sense of purpose. Okay, so if you notice, if you've had times in life where it seemed like life was only about avoiding pain and staying fed and sheltered till you were allowed to die, seventh chakra was impaired. Or if you've had times where you just, you know, couldn't find any direction, seventh chakra was impaired. Or the person that made the decision to save $500,000 on an oil well in a deep drilling process in the Gulf of Mexico by not putting in the extra safety precautions, they had seventh chakra impaired because they were not seeing a broader purpose. They were just trying to poke a hole in the ground and get money out. Okay? Seventh chakra impairment. In the Karma Chameleon workshop, Wednesday night at East West, we'll be opening out the imprinted patterning from earlier in your life and releasing the habits you created psychically about reading people and then adjusting you to them. Because quite frankly, they'll have a better time if they get to hang out with you than if they have to hang out with an ever-shifting, unidentifiable model of what you think they want you to be. Okay? They'll have a better time getting to hang out with a person who's fully there than hanging out with somebody who's sort of sensing and responding, sensing and responding, sensing and responding. No, being there, who you are, is the stronger event. Now, the double header at East West is Wednesday night is the Karma Chameleon Workshop. Thursday night is finding the gifts that were in your blind spot. Now, when I say in your blind spot, there's a place where we tend to look right past our gifted area. Now, I know some of y'all listening have been to the workshop, Recognizing Your Gifts and Value, the workshop that I've done over the years. Some of you have been, lots of you, I'll just let y'all know that if you're listening, there's two workshops in a row. Part of your brain might be going, why would I want to go listen to Scout two nights in a row? I mean, I'm going to, but that's just because I always listen. But why would, you know, when was this guy got to? People that have studied with me for a while, the feedback I get, and I certainly know it's true, when I studied with Betty Bethards back in the mid-70s, I very quickly adopted two plans. One was I noticed that it didn't matter what topic she was going to be talking about. I knew that when I went to her workshops, I would get an energy recharge just from being in the energy field that her guidance generated while she taught. And so I would not only make sure that I went, regardless of the topic, you know, this was my very first teacher. It was my first experience of teacher outside the role of, you know, you go to school and they assign you some person that talks about stuff that with any luck at all, they know something about. This was my first experience of a personally chosen teacher and a spiritual teacher. So not only would I make sure I went, but I would make sure that when she was answering questions, I would, more than pay attention to the question, I would go hang out near where she was. I'd make sure I got my hug after the workshop, and I would hang out near where she was while other people spoke with her and just soak up that energy. Well, I've been very honored that along the way, people have come back and given me the feedback that they've adopted the exact same plan and found it wonderfully enriching, that no matter what my topic was, they know they're going to get their energy recharged and bumped up significantly. In fact, my energy has shifted so much. Those of you that haven't been around a little while, my energy has shifted so much in the last about 8 months that at the end of my workshops and classes, I've actually had to add in a reminder to people to let them know that if unless they had projects they particularly planned to do after the workshop, now is the time for them to go to where they're going to sleep. And when they get to where they're going to sleep, put themselves to bed. Because what we found happening was people would leave the workshops with so much energy flowing. If they take themselves to bed, they go to a deep, deep, rest-filled sleep with typically very vivid teaching dreams. But if they sort of like didn't go straight to bed and just started to kind of do something, you know, that weird thing that when you're getting ready to go somewhere and then all of a sudden you realize you have an extra 10 minutes and some of you just leave and you get there 10 minutes early. But there's some of us that when we've got that extra 10 minutes, we have to do something with it. And the next thing you know, that something ran way longer than 10 minutes and now you're, you know, in a rush. We found that folks would go home and if they just started to do something, even just for a minute, they'd have so much energy flowing that they'd forget it was bedtime because their body wouldn't feel like it was bedtime. And the next thing they knew, it would be 3 or 4 in the morning. And they'd do fine the next day, but they would notice that they had a lack of sleep. Okay? So people have given me this feedback that the energy recharge in the evenings with me, workshops and classes, some of them have been tried to be polite about it when they said, well, frankly, I don't really care what you were going to talk about. I just come for the energy. And I encourage that. So here we go, this amazing doubleheader at East West that I don't know why it got scheduled as a doubleheader, except part of it was so that they could choose my workshop for the honor of being the first of their weeknight intensives that's a fundraiser for East West. But I figure there's way more to it than that because the piece I want, some of you guys, this will perk up your ears. This is the first time I've ever done the Karma Chameleon workshop. In fact, it's going to freak out some people that have studied with me because they have hidden themselves and been invisible with their ability to match to other people for so long that there's lifetime ago ancient fears in there that if people find out you actually do that, that bad things will happen. But this is the first time I've ever done the Karma Chameleon workshop on Wednesday. Thursday will be the first time I've ever done full-fledged the brand new format in the Gifts in Your Blind Spot workshop. So it's two brand new pieces of material that guidance somehow managed to bend every rule at East West and in my book, because I wouldn't do this. They somehow managed to stage enough coincidences to bend every rule in both books around in such a way that I'm back-to-back, doubleheader, two nights next week at East West Bookshop. I bluntly put, even if it wasn't me, even if I was hearing about that and it was somebody that I had seen as much energy flow through as I see through it flow through me when I'm working, I would very comfortably say, go, put yourself there. Do what it takes. East West is easy to get to. There's restaurants all around. Go into that area, have dinner, come to the workshops. Do them both. Wednesday night's workshop is a gift to the community. There's no charge for it. Thursday night's workshop, go ahead and make an early, in fact, make your reservation today. They should be open now. Make your reservation today. I think you can make it online with PayPal, or you can just call them up and make a reservation for Scouts. Make a reservation for both of them. I want to reserve for the Wednesday workshop. I want to reserve for the Thursday workshop. Because Wednesday night, when it's free, I would like us to push the wall. Now, see, they've got a collapsible wall, and if we get enough reservations, they have to move that wall. I like it when they have to do that. They say nice things about me after that, and it feels good to have that many people to play with and that much energy to move through the room. So get a hold of East West. Their website's easy, www.eastwest.com, eastwest.com. Make your reservation for Wednesday, prepay your reservation for Thursday so that you get the advance price discount. Saves you like 30%. And be there Wednesday and Thursday at East West. Meanwhile, let me remind you that we also have other ongoing classes. The 7th of July is the 1th of the month Wednesday for our OMG. It's the OMW, the 1th of the month Wednesday workshop. And then, no, that's not the 7th. Yeah, it is the 7th. Is that Wednesday? And then the 9th of July is the first Friday of July, right? No. The first Friday of July comes up like really soon on the 2th. Yeah, so the first Friday of July on the 2th, dial in at 8 o'clock here on KEST for Life Insights Live, and then the following Wednesday. So next Wednesday night, East West. Next Thursday night, East West. Next Friday morning, KEST. How could it get better than that? This is Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears. You can find my website at lifeinsights.net, LIFEINSIGHTS, lifeinsights.net, or the shortcut that's really easy to get to is not Scott, because it's Scout, not Scott. So just put in, and in fact, if you're at your computer, do this. Don't put any W's. Just go up to the address bar. Just type N-O-T, not S-C-O-T-T, Scott. N-O-T-S-C-O-T-T. Hold down the control key, C-T-R-L. Hit the enter key, which I always think of as a return key because I'm that old-fashioned, and it'll bring up notscott.com. This is Scott Bartlett reminding you, no matter where in the world, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Treat yourself as a loved one because you truly are.